Now to visit with our early bird fishing guide, Jeff Sundin. We've been checking his weekly update of his website pretty regularly now that the season is in full swing. It looks like summer's upon us. Morning, Jeff.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, before we talk about all our fishing tactics and all the different alternatives you ought to have in the boat these days, there's a new law goes in effect today, July 1st.
Yeah, well, actually, there's several of them, but the easiest and the most important one to remember for most of us is to drain everything. Drain your live well, drain your bilge, drain anything that can access lake water. If it's got a plug or a pump and it's in your boat, it's the new law takes effect today, and now if you're driving down the road and they see that plug in the back end of your boat still in, that will get you a ticket, a nice ticket. And while they're at it, they'll probably check you for a few other things. So it's just a good rule of thumb. I put a link to the whole so that instead of having to try and go step by step through the whole thing, you can just click on that link from my website and it'll take you to the full story on the DNR website. It covers everything from zebra mussels to milfoil to so on and so forth. So
the only thing wrong with that is I've been known to not put the plug back in when I put the boat in the water.
Well, there is something about that, but that's just one of those little habits that we got to get into.
Right.
I've been, in the last several years, Lund has installed a plug on the back end of the boat. There's a wire inside, and it keeps the plug from going anyplace.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you can just unscrew it, pull it out, and then it hangs there on that cable. And so it kind of gives you that tap on the shoulder, tells you, make sure you put this back in, because you can see it's dangling back there as soon as you you go back to take your boat straps off. And I really like that because, you know, I'm a pro, so I only forget every few years. But I do forget. I've had to hurry back to the dock to stick the plug back in before.
Okay.
So, Jeff, when we drain, are we supposed to do that right at the landing then?
Yeah. Yep. This, under the new law here, they're telling you you can't go down the road with that plug in the boat. You can't leave. So as soon as you drive away from the landing, you're technically in violation if you haven't already taken care of that.
But if you pull up into the parking lot and you're doing
well,
all your securing and everything,
well, you're still there. That's where you're going to be doing the work. Mm-hmm. So,
Does it say anything about rinsing it or cleansing it?
It doesn't yet. But, you know, this is one of those things that, you know, I've been sort of pushing this for the last few years, you know. Stop using the live well, put your fish on ice, you know.
Right.
Stop using the minnow well, put your fish in a cooler with fresh water and so on and so forth. If you don't get a handle on it voluntarily, you're just asking for more and more and more regulations. And I have, in my particular case, you know, it doesn't take very much to be able to do this, but just as a little extra safety precaution, nothing is more friendly to a fisherman than bleach. And we'll just take and put a little bit of bleach in the live well, fill it up with the hose, you know, just let that sit. And anything that's in there, there's no doubt about it. When you let it out, it's dead, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to go another step further than that, all you have to do is carry like a spray bottle, like a Windex bottle or something like that. And 20% or maybe one part of bleach to 20 parts of water, and just go around and spray the places where you know some of that water is going to linger on your trailer. The little drain holes at the back towards where the trailer lights are, and any place where you pull your trailer out of the landing and you can see water rushing out, you know, these are all good places. Just give it a shot once in a while. If it doesn't take care of the entire problem, you're still going to be, you know, miles ahead of some people who just drive away and leave everything hanging there. So, and believe it or not, people are watching. You know, we had an episode here a couple years ago. I mentioned it on the show one morning. You know, we had so many. We had put the boat in down at on the Mississippi River, and we had so many weeds on the trailer after we put the boat in. You know, we kind of decided that we were going to do the job once instead of twice, so we weren't going to pull all the weeds off until after we put the boat back on.
Right.
Well, we pulled the boat out, and we're sitting at the landing, and while we're underneath, there's three of us laying on our backs underneath the trailer pulling the weeds off of it, and lo and behold, here comes the DNR. Somebody had called, you know, while the trailer was sitting in the parking lot and reported some guy has a trailer full of weeds, and so they were already watching for us.
Hmm.
You know, and I probably could have got myself a ticket had we'd not been, you know, underneath the boat, you know, pulling the weeds off the trailer when he happened to show up. You know, it sort of made kind of a funny story out of it in the end. But everybody is keeping their eyes open, and this is going to be even especially peaked, you know, today. There's going to be a lot of people watching. So, hey, if you're going fishing, pull your plug.
Yeah, it is important because, especially with those invasive weeds and things, I mean, they can just really wreak havoc on a lake. And the zebra mussels and other things. And
well, make no mistake about it. If we don't take care of it, the day is going to come when somebody is going to get the bright idea, you know what, let's just start closing some of these public landings.
Yeah.
And if you think it's a hassle to kind of go through this procedure and take care of this now, wait until we start having those arguments.
So good point.
I'm all for getting ahead of it. Get as far ahead of it as fast as you can. If there's something you can do, then do it.
Hey, let's get to catching some fish.
Okay, sometimes that's easier than others.
I know. Well, you're having to work hard these days.
Man, I tried to catch a muskie yesterday, looking forward to my first, we had our first muskie trip, and I had called around and got a couple of reports from friends, and it sounded like maybe they were starting to move just a little bit, and we casted for about three and a half hours, and we didn't see one, didn't have a follow, didn't just, you know, sometimes you just run across one while you're moving down the shoreline, so it was a little bit discouraging. So we, luckily for us, we switched over to walleye fishing, and the walleyes cooperated, so that took our mind off of the earlier fishing failure. But
isn't that wonderful how that works?
A little bit, yeah. As long as you're catching something, it helps quite a bit. But I think this little warm snap that you're talking about now, speaking strictly from somebody who wants to catch a muskie's point of view, this cool weather and the rain and everything that we got, that's sort of a setback, you know, because you're waiting for that nice hot spell. And that really tingles those muskies and gets them activated. Well, the water was warming up quick, early, and it looked like you could have that coming this year where you'd have that nice warm water and maybe have a really good musky season. And then we've had nothing but reversal since the mid part of May. The water temperatures have been actually getting cooler instead of warmer. So there's been a kind of a double dip. Lots of trouble because all that early water, the warm temperatures, I think you're going to hear later on that there was really great game fish hatches this year. When you're floating on the lakes right now, if it's calm out, you can see just clouds and clouds of young of the year perch and all sorts of, I mean, you can't identify all of them. You're lucky when you see the perch because you can spot their stripes, but there's all kinds of other small fish swimming around right now. A fish that wants to go get a snack quick, they have no trouble. There's bugs in the water,
right.
Minnows in the water, tulipies are jumping around on the surface. And so there's sometimes if the feeding period isn't quite when you show up, you can go and find a lot of fish and just sort of watch them. We had an episode the day before yesterday where you could go to a spot, find a school of fish, and then like the best fish that was on that spot, the hungriest one of the pack, you'd catch it almost right away.
Mm-hmm.
Just drop down and catch a fish, and then you'd fish it for another half hour based on the fact that you just caught that one, and nothing else would bite. So you'd move to the next spot, find a school of fish, catch one or two, and then fish it for half an hour, and nothing else would bite. So you just have to keep on, you know, I guess you call it cherry picking. Just mm-hmm. move from place to place to place and catch as many. And then every once in a while, about once or maybe twice a day, you'll hit a spot. There'll be a school of fish, and this particular school just happens to be feeding. So you could have a great stretch for maybe an hour, hour and a half, but it's all based on finally finding that one good place.
You said something interesting. It's if you're not catching fish, doesn't mean the fish aren't feeding. In fact, they're feeding probably very aggressively. You're just in big competition, aren't you?
Yep, this is it. This is typical middle summer, you know, up and down. One day, and this has happened many times in July, go out one day and have the best day that you've ever had on a given lake. And then you get all excited and you think, well, you know what, we're going to go back there and do it. And you may go back the next day or the day after that and find out that now they're just not biting, you know. And so 3 or 4 days later, you've given up on the lake and you talk to a friend of yours who went over there and he had a great day. So you just never know. You have to be kind of persistent and keep going. Keep going and keep looking. The whole trick is to be there at the same time that they're feeding. But they are definitely feeding. They're putting on weight now. The fish start to really get fat. Between now and the end of August, this is when they do their most. They're really, really chowing down. So don't make the mistake of thinking that they're not biting. In fact, another little tip is, you know, when you've just gotten used to fishing, you know, jig and minnow through the spring, all sensitive, touchy-feely kind of fishing, and then you switch into Lindy rig fishing, leeches, night crawlers, all sensitive, touchy-feely, and then all at once the fish don't seem to respond to any of those tricks. Water starts to warm up. It's not that you don't need to be more finesse. You need to be more active. You need to start the outboard motor and start moving faster and put big spinner blades on, crankbaits, things like that. When that water really starts to warm up, all of a sudden, you know, we're actually fishing too slow. We're trying too hard to catch them. We had, I learned a lesson on that 20 years ago. We're out there sneaking around through every little weed bed and pulling leeches and catching a fish here and a fish there. And here comes back at that, in those days, there was still lots of the old smoky two-stroke engines that would clatter and rattle, and, you know, it was a calm day, and we could hear this guy coming from 2 miles away trolling through the weeds, and the blue smoke was puffing out of the back of the boat, and we were all looking at it, kind of making jokes. But as he went by, we realized that they were catching one fish after another, yeah. And we weren't. And what they were doing was just trolling right through the middle of those weed beds with these big spinner blades on. And the fish, my opinion was that we needed to have a lot of finesse and be real careful how we went about catching them. His idea was just go catch them. And his was working and mine wasn't. So you learn these things the hard way sometimes.
Mm-hmm. So your musky fishing might pick up by Monday or so?
It could. We'll have to just keep an eye on the water. As the water temperature goes up, the muskies are sort of like largemouth bass. They just keep getting more active as it gets warmer. And there's more to it than just that. But
sure.
As the water temperature starts to warm up and we get a lot of weed growth, a lot of these fish, other fish, not muskies, but your fish that are living out in the middle of the main basin of these lakes, they start to push back in towards the weed edges, and you'll see this. It's really dramatic on a year where you start to get a little bit of fish kill in the summertime. You lose your oxygen in the deep water, so tulabies will start moving into the flats and towards the weed areas because the air is better there, and the muskies respond to that. They follow those tulabies around. So right now, we're all out trying to cast the weed beds and the rock piles and places where we think the muskies ought to be. Well, when they're feeding out in the main basin of the lake, follow in these schools of tulabies or suckers, or you know, whichever your lake happens to have in it, the muskies are out there. And so if you really want to get serious about catching them, you've got to go out into the open water and troll around. And if all you want to do is catch a muskie, that's kind of fun. But if you really like fishing and you want to see the fish bite and feel it fish, it's a lot more exciting to cast for them. And you know, a lot of times you'll see the fish hit or that explosion on the surface. Trolling, I could take that or leave it. So we don't do it. We know that would be the way to catch one if that's all you wanted to do.
Sure.
But unless I get somebody that all they really want is to just hold the fish, because while we're casting, especially on, you know, some of our mixed lakes, we can cast for muskies and catch some northerns along the way, or you may get some bass from time to time that bite on big spinners and things like that. So there's other things going on besides just trying to catch a muskie. And that usually keeps your mind occupied.
Well, that sounds like more fun, too.
All right, Jeff, go get them.
All right.
It's July. Okay. Summer's here.
Yeah.
Take
care.
For
a little while, anyway.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks a lot. Jeff Sundin, he's our early bird fishing guide. We visit with him Thursday mornings, and you can get updates on his fishing tips and his fishing luck at his website, jeffsundin.com, on 91.7 KAXE, Community Radio for Northern Minnesota. That's another place you can get a link to jeffsundin.com at our website, kaxe.org.